with some agree-disagree statements, and I put them on the board rather than handing them out. And the very first statement says, and then you need to think about this, you know, you can agree or disagree with this. Do we always pray about a matter, or should we always pray about a matter before we talk to anyone else about it? Do you agree with that statement, or do you disagree with that statement? Okay, all who agree with the statement, raise your hand. Okay, we have some that agree with it. All that disagree with it, raise your hand. All right, since the disagrees are fewer and they're brothers on top of that, why don't you tell us why you disagree with this statement?
Oh, just because of the word always. I mean, if I don't know what kind of bread to buy, I'm not going to pray about it.
Okay.
I mean, unless, like,
does it matter, something important? You know what I mean?
Well, okay. And what about those that said they agree? Does anybody change their mind? They now disagree? Al?
Decisions in life are based on, a lot of times, based on what the Word of God says. Too many of the times we put perspective, our own perspective in it, which our human perspective is flawed.
It is. We're fallen image bearers, and we tend to think from our old sin nature as opposed to from the Spirit.
On the bread part, though, if I was JC, I would call home.
Talk to Courtney?
Yes.
Make sure about the right bread. Well, and suppose somebody walks up to you and just says, you know, Jake, I got to talk to you, and just starts talking to you. I mean, do you have time to pray about the matter? You don't always have time to pray. I mean, it is a good thing to pray about a matter, about any matter. And by the way, one little note that I would say to the bread people, that big or small, God wants us to talk to him. And sometimes the little decisions, we think, oh, I can handle this decision. A bread, that's even less than little decision. That's kind of a routine decision because you've already made a decision about bread. But, you know, bread, I'll take that and run it out, being the lawyer that I am, and work on that for a moment. If you take bread as an example, okay, the kind of bread you eat affects your life. Some people choose wheat bread over white bread, right? Right? White? Right? Okay, and why do they do that? Because they feel it's a little healthier for them. So they've made a decision. Well, they should have prayed about any lifestyle decisions you have. You should have prayed about ahead of time. So maybe it's something you've already prayed about the kind of bread that you want. Being a lawyer, I have to do that. Okay, second, do you agree or disagree? I listen to God first, then I listen to others. I listen to God first, and then I listen to others. The former always precedes the latter. Agree or disagree? We are requiring you to raise your hands. Okay, all who agree with the statement, raise your hands. Okay, all who disagree with the statement, raise your hands. All who don't want to commit, raise your hands. Okay. We have some. Did anybody not vote? We have a small class here. I should check this out. Anyway, all right, let's start with the agrees. Who agrees? Al.
Again, whose viewpoint is better, God's or ours? Not, you know, I'm not agreeing that I always do this, but I mean, that's the practice that we should try to go by.
Okay, disagrees. BK.
Sometimes you're just hopping in conversation with another person and they have some ideas about it. They just start going. Therefore, you have to listen to that person.
Yeah, and it is important that we should be listening to whoever we're talking to. Oh, hold on a second. That's a great idea, but you know, first I want to pray to God about it. And then I'll, you know, in 2 or 3 minutes I'll come back to listening to you. That's not probably a polite way of conversing with somebody. And BK brings up a good point. And Al does too. I mean, as Al says, well, this is something we should be doing, but we don't always have the opportunity to do it first. Sometimes we have to listen to others, and then, you know, if we're confronted with something, they have an idea or a problem or something that they're talking with us about, then we listen to them, we make sure we understand them, and then sometimes we take it to God in prayer. In fact, I would say, in most circumstances of listening to people, that's probably more the practice than the other way around. And that's assuming we take it to God in prayer at all. Which being human, we don't always take it to God in prayer. We just sometimes make a decision on our own and don't even present it to God whatsoever. How about this? Number three, it is more important to know the scriptures than people in order to have great communication with people. Agree or disagree? It is more important to know the scriptures than people in order to have great communication with people. I always see one person shaking his head, so there'll probably be a disagree. Okay, all agree? Not a single agree here? Okay, all disagree. One disagree. Oh, grief. You guys are just not making up your minds this morning. All right. Somebody in between. Somebody who refuses to... Okay? BK?
I just think it's a little combination of both of them.
Okay.
You know about people and scripture. If you know more about one or the other, then kind of ignorant towards the other.
Okay.
Fully express your ideas to the people if you don't know about them.
All right. Al?
Being a salesperson, I've been able to have great communication and really, biblically... My dad growing up in the church that I did, but the more I look at this, I'm going, well, now that I'm able to know Bible doctrine better and what's in the Bible, lately my communication with my friends has been from a perspective that, they're telling me things about their life that, I'm like, ooh. And I have to, I can't give them my viewpoint on it. I have to go to Bible doctrine and give them that because, they're either, one of my friends is so far out of fellowship that, it's not my viewpoint because he knows I've been where he's been at before. And I said, hey, Scotty, I've been there, but here's what the Word of God says about it. So, and they're great conversations. So, it's one of those things where I've communicated well with people in the past, but now it's from a doctrinal standpoint now that I have the Word of God. So, kind of enhances the conversation.
Somebody else who hasn't said anything yet.
I would be leaning towards the degree because lots of times you may not know the right thing to say, but if you know the scriptures, you have that conversation led by God.
Yeah, and I would lead toward the agree on this as well as opposed to the disagree. And the reason I would do that is because if we think about the fact, remember we talked about the fact that we tend to, in our sin nature, in our human flesh, those that know nothing about God, that think they have great communication with people, tend to hide and hurl. That is our tendency in our sin nature. Because that's our tendency in our sin nature, when we start learning about the scriptures, we start learning about God, we start learning about proper communication from a godly perspective. Remember, we're all godly people here, at least we are all believing people here, and therefore we have a perspective from God's perspective, and we want to learn how to communicate His way. So when we talk about great communication, we talk about great communication in terms of God's perspective, right? And if we're talking about in terms of God's perspective, the only way in which we can have great communication from God's perspective is first to know what God's perspective is. And therefore, I would place importance, more importance on the scriptures than the people, because not that it's not important to know about the people. In fact, it is essential for both of these factors to be there for great communication with people. But first, the more important would be the scripture. And then that will lead you to learning more about people and being able to communicate better with people. Well, I just wanted to do that to get our brains functioning. We look like we're a little bit tired this morning. Maybe we should have coffee beforehand, or unfortunately the deacons will not allow us to sit in here with coffee, but we could meet perhaps sometime at a coffee shop for our 9:30 lesson and be drinking coffee or perhaps go in the NPR and sit around in a circle. That might be a possibility to help us wake up. I had almost a full pot of coffee this morning. At JB's restaurant while I was eating my eggs and pancakes. So I had a nice, complete breakfast. Does that make anybody hungry? Well, we're going to be talking about and finishing up this idea of good communication. And I'm going to give you 8 principles this morning about good communication with God. And this is going to complete our this little session here that we have about communication. Remember, communication is not the most important thing in a relationship between a man and a woman unless it is proper God, not I don't want to say God sanctioned, but God, like the kind of communication that God would have us do. And if we have that kind of communication, then we will in fact have a better relationship between a man and a woman. And but it's again always starts with God. And so I'm going to give you 8 principles about good communication with God always involves. Good communication with God always involves 8 things. Can anyone guess what the first one might be? For instance, we are having communication from God this morning in this Bible class. Okay. What is the thing that we always start every single Bible class with?
Confession.
So good communication with God always involves... Now, you can write down the word confession, but let's get a little broader because suppose you didn't need to confess because you've already confessed. What is important in this interaction? It's the Holy Spirit. Always involves the Holy Spirit. And I'll give you 2 sets of passages. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And 1 John 1:9. And the reason it's the whole chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and the reason I said you're going to need your Bibles this morning, because we're going to do a little Bible flipping. So if you would turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 real quick. It's just going to be a brief overview. Our pastor covered it recently. This actually has 23 verses in it. The first 17 verses deal with our interaction with the Holy Spirit. All right. And it starts off, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual men, but as men of the flesh, as to babes in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not yet able to receive it. Indeed, you are not yet able, for you are still fleshly, since there is jealousy and strife among you. Are you not fleshly? Are you not walking like mere men?" And we are not supposed to walk like mere men or like mere women, as the case may be. This is a generic use of the term. If there is jealousy and strife anywhere in somebody's life or in a group of people, including some churches, the Spirit is not there because the Spirit does not have that spirit of contention among believers. And we know in the Corinthian church that they were constantly fighting with each other. Just constantly fighting with each other. And it goes on to say that, talks about this stress or this strife between them. Verse 4, "For when one says, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos, are you not mere men? What then is Apollos? What then is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one." In other words, we're each just vessels to be used by God, to be part of the body of Christ. It doesn't matter that we have our pastor up here talking. Okay, if we didn't have a congregation, if we didn't have the people that took care of the buildings, the people that took care of communion, and all the different parts that make up of a church, our pastor would not be able to communicate as effectively. In fact, if there was nobody in the congregation, there would be nobody to communicate to. So it's all part and it's all working together. No one person is more important than another person in the church. And what's happening in the Corinthian church is they would tend to elevate, oh yeah, Paul, you know, we know that he met Christ on the road to Damascus. We know that he was probably taught by Christ in the backside of the desert. And so he is really the spiritual one, and he's the big one there. But he's saying, no, it's not me. It's just I am a vessel to be used by God. You know, I planted, Apollos watered, God's causing the growth. So neither one who plants or water... you know what? Actually, I got the verse wrong. Am I wrong now? Actually, I got the wrong chapter here. Let's go back up to chapter 2 here. And the reason, because I apologize. Actually, chapter 3 is a great chapter talking about strife and division. But I was trying to get to the right thing here. Let's back up just a few verses to chapter 2, verse 6. You do not speak among them who are mature, a wisdom, however, not of this age, nor rulers of this age who are passing away, but we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages of glory. The wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood, for if they understood, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And it talks about, just as it has been written, things which the eye has not seen, the ear has not heard, and which has not entered in the heart of man, for all that God prepared for those who love him. For to us, God revealed them through the Spirit. And this is what I wanted to get to. This idea of this fact that everything that we learn from God comes from his Spirit. If we do not have his Spirit, we cannot learn anything from God. And you say, well, you know, I have all these great principles and these things that are wonderful truisms. And we see that. For instance, there's, what is it called, the Book of Zen? I think there's called a Book of Zen. And some other people that have written these wonderful books with wonderful principles in them that we say, yeah, this sounds good, and this sounds like something that's almost biblical, and it has a great truth that we can apply in this life. But God is telling us we can't do it apart from the Spirit. Now, we are all given the Holy Spirit at the moment we believe in Jesus Christ. If we don't believe in Jesus